Hey guys, it's John here. Before we get started, I want to let you know that the show that we originally recorded for today was very long, so I'm splitting it into two. And it's me and Tom Westerholm talking about the five-part series of summer decisions that we wrote for Mass Live. It works out pretty well because I had nothing to talk about on Monday anyway, because Media Day is Monday, and really Tuesday is the first real day we'll have anything new to talk about. So this, the Friday show, and the Monday show was actually all recorded at once. So when you hear kind of maybe something not as seamless going into a break or something like that, that's why. So enjoy the show.
So hype right now. Anything's possible.
Days back with the vengeance, back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34, yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you all for making this part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Mass Live, and joining me today, also covering the team for Mass Live, my partner Tom Westerholm. What's going on, Tom?
What up, what up, what up?
So Tom and I have spent all week doing a series called Boston Celtics Summer Decisions. We'll talk about which big should start, the Jalen Jason contract extension talk, Taco Fall, the potential trade decisions that may come this year, and which rookie should get run. So that's the Friday piece. We'll save that for last. We'll do this all in order and start with the conversation of which big starts. We were just saying before we started recording how tired we are of having these conversations. I can't wait to hear and see what Vincent Poirier could do, just so I can get like some closure and maybe a new element to this discussion. But I've said on this podcast before that I think it should be Enes Kanter for various reasons. Just to briefly recap, I just think offensively he works well with Kemba, having that pick and roll partner. I trust that offensively, even though there are defensive limitations. You had a different choice though.
I did. Yeah, I went with Robert Williams for a couple of reasons. And I mean, to clarify, I think that it probably will be Enes Kanter. The way that they kind of rolled him out kind of felt like they were rolling out a starting center. Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously part of it was just convenience with having the introduction with him and Kemba. And, you know, everybody made such a big deal over, you know, Danny Ainge saying that, you know, this was their plan A this summer, which, you know, their plan A after their actual plan A fell apart. To be clear, I do think that Enes Kanter will start at least, you know, most of the games at the beginning. But I think that Rob makes a lot of sense for a few different reasons. I think one, you know, defensively, he definitely has more upside than Kanter. And I mean, you know, obviously last season there were a lot of problems with his positioning and, you know, just kind of not knowing where to be when. And I think that's, you know, pretty understandable for a rookie big man, especially, you know, with bigs being the type of position that have to sort of run the defense in a good defensive setting. But I just think that with his potential, he could be a really special defender. And to me, it almost kind of makes sense just from a, like, look, the Celtics aren't a contender as currently constructed, I don't think. I think, you know, they're close. Like, they're a good team, but they're not quite there. So what are you hurting by, you know, giving Rob big minutes and giving him this opportunity to run with some of the younger guys like your Jaylen Brown, your Jason Tatum, guys who, you know, kind of are the core of the team going forward? It, kind of a what do you have to lose type thing. Like, I think it's worth trying. I think it's worth kind of seeing what you have and giving him a chance to make some mistakes and make a bit of an impact. And, you know, if you find out that he can't handle that and he's not a starting big and he doesn't have like starting big potential in the NBA, well, then you have your answer and, you know, you can kind of operate from there. But to me, it does kind of make some sense to, to have your answer to you know, see what you have in Rob Williams, and if you like it, then great, and if you don't, then you go from there.
Yeah, I believe in everything that you're saying. I feel like a couple of rebuttals. The what do you lose part, a couple of things in that is you may lose some of the confidence on Robert Williams' part.
Sure.
If he's out there with those guys, and look, you just signed Kemba. He's your big replacement. He's your long-term guy. You got Enes Kanter there, who obviously is not a long-term guy. He's not even guaranteed for next year. but he's a known entity. Like, people know who he is. People know he's got at least an elite rebounding kind of, he does one thing extraordinarily well. To have him out there, to have Robert out there, and maybe not doing things may cause him a little bit of that confidence. And that's part of why I'd like to see him go to Maine to start. Now, I've been saying go to Maine all year. I don't think it has to be all year. I just want him to go get those reps where making mistakes doesn't cost the Boston Celtics wins and losses. And you're right in that they're not a contender this year. So there is that mentality like, it doesn't matter if he makes a mistake and he costs them a game, except Tatum and Brown and Kemba and those guys, they're not in this to say, well, this is kind of a lost year. They're in it to win. So I think the message to the team has to be, we're going for it in a wide open East. And if a couple things break right, and you never know what kind of midseason move we're going to make, we could still be in that mix. So I believe everything you're saying about Robert Williams can eventually be true. I want to see him start doing it in Maine and start doing it consistently in Maine. And if by the All-Star break or somewhere like that, he's got it and they like his positioning and they like all his stuff and he's figuring out rotations and he's doing all that stuff well, then bring him up and start him. I'm fine with that. And if it costs Kanter, if he says, well, you know, thanks, but you gotta trade me somewhere where I'm going to get my minutes, then so be it. But I
wouldn't be the first
sure.
time Enes Kanter said that, by the way.
Right. So, I mean, I want Rob to, I just don't want to ruin Rob. I'm very afraid of that.
No. And I mean, that makes sense. And I think that, you know, I think that sort of my case that I was making was partly just like, okay, the worst case scenario is that it becomes sort of like a lost season in that way. I guess I wasn't saying like this season itself is lost, so you might as well just throw the young guys out there.
No, right.
I think with Rob, I would be really interested to see how he develops in terms of, I think there's just a lot of value in building continuity with guys. And I think that, you know, having that chance to make those mistakes early in the season, you know, and again, maybe those mistakes cost the Celtics too many games and it does become like they have to get Kanter in there, they have to get Poirier in there, whatever it might be. But I do think just kind of developing some chemistry is one of the reasons why I would be a little hesitant to send him to Maine. Just because I think you're absolutely right that this guy barely played last year. Like, he needs to get some reps. Like, you can't really have two redshirt seasons at the start of your NBA career. Like, that's pretty tough. But to me, it would make a little more sense to get those reps with the guys that you hope that he will eventually be playing with, just to build that continuity and build that repetition and get the coaching from the guys who are going to be coaching him at, you know, at the NBA level. I mean, you know, he was a talent wise, he was a, you know, top 10, top 15 prospect in a couple of consecutive draft classes. Like, it's not outlandish to think that he could, you know, contribute at an NBA level, especially if he gets some of that continuity this season. So, I mean, that would be my counter. I agree with you that, I agree with you that it's probably going to be Kanter. Right. And part of this is that we had to take kind of differing viewpoints on this one. But I do think that he should get big minutes with the Celtics, like, quickly. I think that there's a lot of value in that. In sort of building something with the guys who are going to be here all season and, you know, just sort of developing him within that atmosphere.
I think it's fair to make an argument for Robert Williams. I really do. I like Rob. I liked what I saw in Summer League. I like what
Yeah, he played well.
The development, even from the beginning of Summer League to the end, the passing was really nice. I think there's a lot of promise there for Robert Williams to be a starter level center. Maybe not an all-star, maybe not a Hall of Famer, but a starting level center.
Maybe not.
But a guy that can go in there and give you those that hard rim running, lob catching, good defense type of guy. So I can totally buy why people are making the argument for him. So we'll see how that plays out.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Let's quickly go to the Jaylen Brown extension and Jason Tatum eventual extension potentially next summer. There was a report out in the past day or so that said it's unlikely that these two sides would come, Jaylen and the Celtics would come to an agreement. I think it makes sense that that's the case because Brown probably wants the full max and Danny Ainge is not willing to give him the full max. And it's just going to be a prove it season for both sides, I think.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It just, you know, Jaylen could help himself so much financially with a great season. And I just feel like barring injury, which obviously you very much hope against, but, you know, barring injury, I don't see how his value would go down much this season. You know, I think if he gets to the end of the season and he's had, you know, sort of a so-so year and he's just kind of been okay, he's still going to be a 6'7", you know, long-armed freak athlete who can defend multiple positions and who can hit open threes. Like, he's still going to have all of that value. And, I mean, the dude turns 23 in, like a month. Like, he's so young.
Yeah.
I just don't think that, you know, like, let's say the Celtics offered him, I don't know, 4 years 90, and he turned that down. He's going to get 4 years 90 from somebody in the summer. Like, I feel like almost no matter what. So, I mean, I feel like he'd be taking a small risk with like a potential huge payoff, just by waiting unless the Celtics threw something great at him. And obviously I don't think they're going to do that because they have a history of not doing that, you know, with rookie extension guys. And we can get to why Tatum might be an exception to that in a minute here. But with Jaylen, I mean, I just don't think he's shown quite enough yet, especially, I can't remember who was talking about it yesterday, but I thought it was an interesting point that, like, if you flip his second and third seasons, he would actually make a lot more sense, you know, as like a potential max guy with, you know, a breakout postseason. Like, if he had kind of a mid-level but like decent second season, and then in his third season he had a great year and helped lead his team to the Eastern Conference Finals, that would make a lot of sense. Like, all of a sudden you'd be like, oh yeah, this guy's like a future star. He's going to make some All-Star teams. He's going to be a really good player. We should give him the max. And I just don't think he's there, especially given the fact that his second and third seasons were the way that they were.
Now, this puts the Celtics in an interesting position. And I don't want to step on the midseason trade conversation that we're going to have later. But here's my question, bringing Jason Tatum into this. Jason Tatum is probably going to get the max extension. If he takes a step forward, especially.
Yeah.
I don't see why he wouldn't get a max extension. He's supposed to be your next star. Most people are looking to see if he can become that next star. So if he takes a step forward, I would anticipate the max extension. Now, my question to you, Tom, is most teams, when you pay three guys the max, now, obviously these are smaller maxes because of their age and years of service, but those three guys are your three guys. Those are the guys that are supposed to lead you to the NBA Finals, make you a contender for the NBA Finals. So does a year from now, when we get ready for Media Day 2020, a newly extended max Jason Tatum, a max Kemba Walker, and a max Jaylen Brown, does that trio make you an NBA Finals contender?
It's tough to say without knowing how, especially without knowing how Tatum's going to play this season, but it's hard to see it at this point. Like, and that's not ripping on any of those three guys who I think are all extremely good. Like, they're all really good. But I mean, just from what we've seen so far, I think you're looking at it the right way. I think it's tough to see how that team is a title contender, especially, you know, given Giannis's continued rise and especially given how good Philly is about to be. And especially, you know, out West, it's just a bloodbath everywhere. I mean, you know, as good as Kemba and Jalen and Jason are all individually, like, if you want to talk about title contenders, the Clippers are going to have Kawhi and Paul George. Like, right. There's just like, there's other firepower out there that just feels, you know, more fiery. So, yeah, I think that's the right question to be asking at this stage in the conversation. Like, you know, and if Jalen comes out at the start of the season and he's awesome and he's averaging 20 points a game, or even if he's, you know, if some of the passing that he showed at FIBA is real, and he's, you know, even if he's putting up, you know, 15, but he's distributing well and he's playing well within the offense, like, yeah, you can revisit the conversation. Like, there's the possibility that those three could be a really, really dangerous trio. But as things stand right now, it is tough to see that. And I think that you're exactly right that that's why the Celtics are probably going to have to think hard about, you know, how much they want to offer Jalen at this juncture.
Yeah, what I'm afraid of, I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid of becoming the Washington Wizards, where, yeah, you know, you give Otto Porter a ton of money and you give all these guys, like, Otto Porter's a nice player, but he shouldn't mm-hmm. be making whatever he's making. Like, I'm afraid that the Celtics are going to be that purgatory team. Now, a lot of people will say the seventh or eighth seed is purgatory. I disagree with that notion, because when you're the seventh or eighth seed, it's easier to say we're just barely making the playoffs. We're not going to get over the hump here. When you're the fourth seed or the third seed or something like that, and you have these young players that are promising as hell, and Jaylen Brown is promising as hell, and Jason Tatum, same thing, and you say, God, we're right there. If we just keep this core, pay these guys, because you just got to pay these guys, that's what you do with your young stars, and start to build around them, they will rise and carry us to the top. And I'm afraid that what Jaylen Brown might actually be is that complementary piece, not the piece. And I don't want to pay him like the piece. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the Celtics can be stuck in that. Well, now they're expected to be the third seed. And now, you know, what happens after that? What do you add? Who do you add? Maybe you make the Memphis pick, and that becomes a piece that you add, and that you solve a problem that way. But I don't want to become the Wizards or the Hawks when Al Horford was there. They're always right there, right on the edge, and you're afraid to make a move because you're just so close knocking on that door.
No, absolutely. And I don't know if you – do you want to step on the trade thing a little bit here? Because I feel like we're kind of dancing around that right now.
We might as well, because –
yeah. We honestly, in our planning, we probably should have ordered that a little better within our series. I think that – because the other thing to consider is, look, if Tatum has a really good season, you know, kind of by the standard, let's say both Jalen and Tatum have the type of season that you would expect to see, you know, a talented young player who's on the rise have this season. I think even given that type of progression, you probably still don't look at that trio and think to yourself that this is a contender. But if Tatum does take that step, you could probably look at Kemba and Tatum and say, well, this team is basically one big piece, you know, pun only half intended, away from, from building something that could maybe contend, especially now that the NBA is a little more wide open. And then you start looking around the league and you could say to yourself, look, Jalen and the Memphis pick is one heck of a package, you know, and the Celtics certainly have like salaries that can match if they want to get somebody who's on a big deal. You know, obviously Jalen right now doesn't make that much money, so it would be pretty easy to include him if you like a younger guy. You know, we've talked about this before, you almost have sort of a Jalen replacement in Romeo Langford, and they're different players. You know, I'm probably going to write something about this during the preseason, but you know, they're very different players in terms of just how they attack and what they can do. But in terms of size and in terms of position, you know, they're both kind of that 2-3 combo, mm-hmm. that can do a lot of things in the NBA. So yeah, I mean, I think that as the season goes on, we're really going to have, you know, at this point, you know, you've heard people talking about it on the low post. You've started to hear people talk a little bit more about like, oh yeah, it would kind of make sense if the Celtics traded Jaylen for a really good big. And I think we're only going to hear more of that as the season goes on, because it just does make a lot of sense in terms of sort of just roster continuity. Like, they just make more, it would make more sense to consolidate, you know, your talent in one area and improve it in another.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Can I throw something out at you? Because I'm absolutely obsessed. I'm obsessed with trying to get Bradley Beal. Can the Celtics flip Jaylen a really good, like, I don't want to sit there and saying like I'm trying to trade Jaylen Brown away. But this is the business, so I'm just trying to look at it from a business perspective. A really good young wing and the Memphis pick, and for Bradley Beal. Is there some way, and I know the numbers don't work, and I'm kind of tried to piece together the possibilities. It's not going to be easy. It might cost the Celtics Marcus Smart.
Hey, I was just going to say, all these trades, that everybody's going to hate them because it's tough to do it without Smart.
It's really hard to do without Smart. I don't know that you can do it without Smart. And that actually is what gives me a little bit of pause, because I know you got to give up something to get something. You're already giving up Jaylen. You're already giving up the Memphis pick, which is going to be really good either next year or the year after. So I hesitate to also give up Marcus Smart, but I also want to get Bradley Beal. The only thing that I can think of is, if you want to consolidate the wing spot, you take back the Jan Mahimi contract, you do Mahimi and Beal, and you do Hayward and Jaylen and the Memphis pick, and it works.
Well, yeah, that
I don't know.
I mean, that,
yeah, I don't know.
That's,
I don't
probably
know,
not that ridiculous, frankly.
Because I look at it, going back to my earlier question, you got Beal, Kemba, and Tatum as your three.
Exactly.
And that's easier to sell me on. That team can take you, because Kemba's obviously, he was an all NBA guy last year. I'm a huge, huge believer in Bradley Beal. And now you're waiting for Tatum to develop into that one of your big three, whether it's one, two, or three, that group. And then you go back to our earlier conversation. You go back to, well, where's Robert Williams in all of this? Now, if Robert Williams becomes the pick setter, rim protector, Now you got something.
Definitely. And I would say that trade probably makes the most sense if Tatum takes a big step forward. Like, I think that trade makes a ton of sense if Tatum is better than Kemba this year, if that makes sense. Or like, if he's if he's basically, you know, equal to Kemba just in terms of like production and value. And then obviously Tatum would be a 22-year-old, so you would assume that he would get even better after that. Because I mean, I think that, going back to your original question, like you were saying, if Tatum takes like a kind of a normal but not like spectacular step up this season, then I'm not sure that Tatum and Kemba and Beal is a championship team. And maybe I'm wrong, but you know, I think there would be some defensive questions with that squad that would really need answering, and it would be a little bit more complicated. But yes, if Tatum looks like a future star, you know, this season, or if he looks like the real deal, then yeah, I think that type of trade would make a lot of sense, and it would give the Celtics some real firepower. I mean, that team would be tough to stop. I don't know what you would do to you know, maybe you score 100 points on them, but you're going to have a tough time keeping them under 115.
Yeah. The other possibility is you wait until the summer, and if the Wizards are interested. And you got to keep in mind that Bradley Beal is under contract for next year as well.
Correct.
You can pull a sign and trade, and if they're willing to pay Jaylen Brown, and I know there becomes the base year compensation thing again, where his outgoing salary accounts for like half, but at least if you're paying him that $29 million that then he counts for 15 on the way out.
Exactly. The half helps a lot.
And now you can say, well, we're obviously not going to give you Marcus Smart, but we can give you, I don't know, Daniel Tice or somebody else. That, you know what I mean? So that makes it easier because then you can come within that 110% matching parameter, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I'm open to it. Now, if the Celtics do keep Jaylen Brown and he becomes like, I'm not opposed to the conversation about the timeline that Jaylen Brown is good enough to be that one of those three guys. I mean, right now I don't see it, but that doesn't mean that because I don't see it now, it doesn't mean that I won't see it 3 months from now. And I gotta reiterate, I'm not knocking Jaylen Brown at all. Okay. I'm just saying that if we're looking for that third guy, that other star to take the Celtics to that level, then I need like a Bradley Beal. I need it to be Bradley Beal. And if Jaylen isn't at that level, if he just is never going to get to that level, then we end up going back to the conversation like you were having before. Do you call up Orlando? Do you call up Indiana and say, you got a bunch of bigs. We got a wing. He's pretty good, but we need a little help here. I know you get the Mo Bamba conversation. I don't know, Miles Turner or Sabonis or one of those guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. And like I wrote in the piece on Mass Live, by the way, everybody go to masslive.com/Celtics. That quote from Wick Grossman, where he specifically unprompted brought up that they rolled through last year's trade deadline without doing a thing. That stuck out to me so much because I think he was pissed about how the season went. And I think this year, if things aren't going quite as well, and it's not a championship contender right now, but like if things are still not going well, that he might aggressively push, like, look, we're not making the same mistake again. You got to do something. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics are kind of prodded into doing something too.
Yeah, I think that when you look back on last season, I don't think that you can blame there's going to be a lot of Kyrie blaming for a lot of different things, and I don't think you can blame him for wanting to tell the fans that he was coming back and, you know, wanting to get the questions off his back. I think all that was fine. I think where the Celtics might really be upset is that it feels like he had a pretty good idea by February that he was leaving, and they probably would have reshuffled some things if they had known that at the trade deadline. It's just kind of, you know, my guess here, obviously not, informed by sourcing or anything like that. But I do think that, when you talk about, because when Wick talks about that, you know, he's putting that from the perspective of, well, maybe, you know, they could have traded Rozier, maybe they could have done something like that. But they didn't want to do any of that stuff because they thought they might have a chance to trade for Anthony Davis still. And they thought that possibility of combining him with Kyrie Irving was still in play. At least, you know, you have to assume that that's why nothing happened, because, you know, that was kind of the line all season. So, you know, if I'm the Celtics, I think that's one area where I would be a little bit salty. I think that, I mean, look, there's trades out there that could happen that would make some sense. There's trades that would be a bit of a risk. I mean, I don't think that the Celtics are going to trade Jaylen Brown for Mo Bamba straight up. But, you know, I do think that, you know, maybe, you know, somebody like Bamba who didn't necessarily have as much of an opportunity might make some sense. Although, you know, Bamba wasn't great last season by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's other guys out there too, but we'll have to see. I mean, I do think they're going to be a little more aggressive looking this season, and, you know, how that manifests itself is going to be really interesting to watch.
Yeah. And going back to the other conversation, like, I don't think there's any more conversation to have of when it comes to Tatum's extension, right? I mean, it's
right,
one of two ways. He either takes a huge step forward and it's abundantly clear that he gets the max extension, or they find themselves into a Jaylen Brown situation like this, and they say, well, you didn't take as much of a step forward last year as we thought. Prove it to us, and you go into restricted free agency. So,
yeah, and I will just add one thing. I think that it would, if there's any question at all that he does deserve the max, it might not be the worst idea in the world to, if they still feel really strongly about him, it might not be the worst idea in the world to give him that early, just because he, I think that there's probably some residual, you know, he's never going to talk about it because he's like a very professional, even as a 20 whatever year old. But I think I would not be surprised if Tatum has some hard feelings about how the Anthony Davis saga all played out. I mean, his name was floated and floated and floated and floated. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it would probably be nice for him to get a real contract, get some real money, and have an organization say, look, we always believed in you. The AD thing was a one-time thing. You know, we were trying to build something else then, but now we're trying to build around you. It would probably be nice for him to have that sort of assurance, you know, going into a season. You know, even though the Celtics don't usually do that, I think it would make some sense in that case.
I think that's fair. That's fair to say because of all the stuff that you laid out. I wonder if Danny Ainge is going to do that. That feels like...
You might be right.
It feels like what Denver did, in a sense, with Jamal Murray. And I think the
except they weren't dangling Jamal Murray.
No, right. That's true. But, like, we're showing you that we have confidence in you. We're showing you that you're part of our future. We didn't have to do this, but we're going to do this because we believe in you. We want to let you know that we believe in you. Kind of give the guy some confidence to go out there and be like, ah, okay, I feel good. And look, just trying to put myself in a player's place like that, there's definitely like a weight off your shoulders when you know
absolutely
that you got paid and you're not, you know, there's always going to be in the NBA the threat of a trade. Like that's never going to go away. But to know that, like, okay, I'm under contract. Like, I feel I'm good. I'm here. Like, this, let's just go do it. And you don't feel like every mistake is going to be scrutinized. But
yep.
Tatum's also, it seems to be like a different animal too. Like, I don't know how much of that really bothers him. He doesn't let on that it bothers him. He just kind of like very straight, you know, not too high, not too low kind of guy. But I can see theoretically the value in that. We're going to cut it off right there. When we come back on Monday for part two of this show, we'll talk about the Taco Fall question and our takes on the rookies, who's going to get the most minutes, and some interesting stuff about Romeo Langford, which nobody's really talking about. So that's coming up on Monday. It's part two of my conversation with Tom. Subscribe to the show, please, to get that directly to your inbox on your device. You can ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. And you can also give us a 5-star rating and a good written review. I really, really appreciate that. And spread the word. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.